Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, September the 20th. Did you see the shuttle Endeavour flying over Tucson? We were lucky enough here at the KVOI studios to step outside at 11:15, and we saw it. And during today's show, it's very opportune moment to speak with comet discoverer David Levy. He'll be joining us at about 20 minutes past the hour on today's Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to 1 right here on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. Our program is live streamed at buckmastershow.com. That's my website, and the station's website, kvoi.com, also with live streaming. If you missed a portion of the program or you want to hear the program again, we have the program posted to several websites. My website, buckmastershow.com. We usually have the show posted by early in the afternoon. Also to tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com, also carrying our show. And if you go to the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun website, gvnews.com, there is also a link to the Buckmaster Show. We're going to start the program with an interview with the new provost of Pima Community College. 20 minutes past the hour, we will be speaking with comet discoverer David Levy. 30 minutes past the hour, our once a month animal specialty care segment. I always look forward to that. Everyone knows I love animals. Today we're going to be talking with a veterinary dentist. Should be interesting. And then we will continue our campaign coverage, spotlighting all of the legislative races. Today we're focusing on LD 11. Dave Joseph will be with us, one of the candidates in a three-way race there. So let's begin now with the Pima Community College new provost. He is Dr. Jerry Migler. Dr. Migler comes to Tucson from Moorhead, Minnesota. And if you know that area, Moorhead is right across, is it the Red River?
Yes, it is.
Right across the Red River from Fargo, North Dakota. And Dr. Migler comes to Tucson from Moorhead, where he was a campus provost and vice president at Minnesota State Community and Technical College's Moorhead campus. He also served as the school's executive vice president. Dr. Migler, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
Are you becoming a desert rat?
Actually, I am. Although I've only been here for 2 months, my wife and I are enjoying it immensely, and I'm learning a lot and loving Tucson.
I always say to the newcomers, if you're going to move to Tucson, it's probably best to get the pain over with and come in the middle of summer, because now the nice weather is going to start.
And we're
It'd be like moving to Moorhead and Fargo in January.
Yes, it would.
Tell me a little bit about how it's gone. You've been there a couple of months now.
Yep, just completing 2 months, and things are going very well. I'm spending some time getting acclimated, meeting people, just learning how the college works. And I've been very impressed with all of the folks I've met. We have a lot of talent. We have strong programs. So Pima is a very strong community college. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to be here was based on the reputation of the college. So I've spent a fair amount of time just getting up to speed, and been very impressed with everything I've seen so far.
It's a huge college, 75,000 students annually. Usually fluctuates between 7th and 8th largest. It's certainly a top 10 community college in the country in terms of size. The enrollment issue, I guess it's an issue. It's always a challenge, isn't it, at community colleges. Where is it right now for the enrollment?
In terms of—
You're down a little bit.
We're down a little bit. The numbers that we're looking at, we're down about 11%, not unexpected. And there are a number of factors, and we're spending some time looking, checking those a bit more just to see if we can fully understand those. Certainly community colleges are very susceptible to what's happening in the economy, both locally and nationally. And as I've been looking around the country, we're seeing the numbers that we're seeing, the trends we're seeing are very similar to what other community colleges are experiencing as well. And to some extent, it's a good thing. Because what it means is that the economy is improving. And when the economy improves, people are finding jobs, They have other options that they're looking at. And obviously when the economy wasn't doing so well, people tend to go back to school or in higher percentages than they normally might. So that's one factor. We know that there's a little bit of confusion about what did our changes in admissions do, and we expect that's a factor. We're trying to get a sense of that. And so it's not just one or two things. I think there are a few other things that we're looking at. Are there some things that are happening, enrollment fluctuations on some of the campuses in terms of programs, those types of things? But again, it was not unexpected, and it's tending to be very similar to what other colleges are seeing.
Well, while overall enrollment is going down, the Northwest campus, wow, they've had a jump of 40% since 2003 with an average of nearly 6,000 students a semester. In fact, Pima Community College will construct its first building in 8 years at the Northwest campus. That's going to be at 7600 North Shannon Road, and that project will get underway in October and will be finished a year later. And then the nice thing about this project, and I think the important thing about it, is it's going to be focusing on science, and we keep hearing that that's where we need to be putting our emphasis in this country, in education, higher education, science, and mathematics.
Very true. That's a growing area. Our jargon is STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, and certainly that is a growing field. I think there's been a lot of emphasis on that at the high school level, at the K-12 level, and we're starting to see some of that now transfer into higher education because more students are interested in pursuing careers in those areas. So this is going to be a very nice addition for us to be able to provide good facilities for that growing market.
The changing role of the community college. When community colleges started, they were known as junior colleges, and many people would just do the 2 years, and that would be it. But as the colleges have evolved, many people use it as a platform to a four-year degree. But at the same time, some people don't necessarily need a four-year degree, and part of your expertise is in what has traditionally been called vocational education or technical education. People now need some kind of form of higher education, even if they're going into one of those technical professions.
Very, very true. The trends that we've been watching are showing that the economy has been changing perhaps now for a generation, and community colleges are part of – we're experiencing that change. And the change is, a generation ago, a high percentage of people could get a good job with a high school education. And the biggest change that's occurring is that – the projections are that about 60% of people by the year 2020, 2018 are going to need some type of education beyond a high school diploma. That's not counting the baccalaureate degree. That has stayed at about 25 or 30%. And so as we look at that 60% of people that need something between a baccalaureate degree and a high school education, that's where community colleges come in. And so We've been working to adjust to those trends. Certainly, the vocational or occupational programs, as we call them now, has been a reflection of how we're trying to adapt to those changes. And it is important from a societal point of view, because the national data are showing that for our country to be competitive, for state economies to be competitive, for local economies to be competitive, you have to have a strongly educated workforce. And again, knowing that growth in educational requirements is between high school and baccalaureate, that's where community colleges come in. And we're seeing that in fields right across the board. You think about the frontline workforce, the nurses, the automotive technicians, the veterinary technicians, the dental hygienists.
Your aircraft program is really renowned at Pima. one of the best in the country for aircraft mechanics.
Exactly. And so that's where the community colleges come in, and that's where Pima Community College comes in, is working to provide that workforce. Interestingly, in the state of Arizona, the projection is that we'll only be at about 30% of that need, so there's going to be a gap there. And so as community colleges, we're working on ways that we can fill that gap, because we're not producing people, community colleges in general, quickly enough to meet the needs of the economy's workforce.
And a four-year education isn't necessarily right for someone, say they're very good with their hands and they want to go into a technical or learn a trade. I mean, that we need those kinds of people. I certainly can't fix anything. So, I mean, I call those people and I depend on those people that can fix it, and they need to be trained.
Yeah, and if you think about all of the technology that's out there right now, if you take your car to a dealership, more than likely there's going to be a scan tool or a computer that's going to be attached to it to find out to see what's going wrong. And that's part of that whole changing skill set that we're working on.
How is the search coming for a new chancellor? I know that there's several dozen people now are on the search advisory committee, very prominent people in the community.
It's moving along right on schedule. The board announced I think 31 members of the search advisory committee, and my understanding is that they'll be convening within a week or so, if I understand it, and to start the process of getting names and looking at resumes right on down to bringing people to Tucson, to the college, to do interviews. So it's right on schedule.
And you know, you do want to hear from the public. In fact, you have set up a search process link at pima.edu. That's your main website. And you can also email under chancellorsearch@pima.edu for public comments.
Exactly. And I know that the search advisory committee really wants to get comments from the community, so we certainly encourage people to do that.
Very important hire, and the finalists, I understand, maybe a decision on this early next year. Is that what you're thinking? So we're going to have to wrap it up right here. We've been speaking with Dr. Jerry Migler. He is the new provost at Pima Community College. Welcome to the community, Dr. Migler, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. Support for Buckmaster comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more about Splendido at SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, the Buckmaster contributor on science, Dr. David Levy. He's the former science editor of Parade Magazine. He now heads up, and he's the founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's pushing 24 discoveries in the comet area, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosion ever witnessed in the solar system. David, how are you today?
I'm fine, thanks, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I'm very excited. A lot of us had a chance to step outside of the KVOI studios about a little over an hour ago,
yeah.
And we saw the space shuttle.
Yeah, you did. We missed it here. I was watching for it, but in fact, I'm still sitting outside, but we missed it, completely missed it. Must have come from a different direction.
Yeah, they flew from the east, flew over the U of A Mall, then they kind of banked over toward the west and sort of brought them close to our studios here off of Palo Verde, and it was really neat to see. It's the second time in my life that I have seen it, and I'm always amazed that the space shuttle is quite a small vehicle when compared to the 747.
It's compared to the 747, the shuttle is like about the size of a DC-9.
Yeah, I mean, it's small. The Tucson portion of the flight honored former U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords and her husband Mark Kelly, former astronaut who commanded Endeavour's final mission to space in May of 2011. And that's what the flyover was requested by Commander Kelly. I guess it's on its way, David, to the California Science Center in Los Angeles.
It's going up to now, and it's going to be going towards to LAX tomorrow, and then it's going to be towed through the streets of L.A. to the Science Museum, where it'll stay.
They flew over and I think they actually stopped on the way over from Tucson at White Sands Missile Range.
Yeah, they did. They flew over Las Cruces as well.
There was quite an interesting launch out of White Sands.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Just last week. It was a wonderful event. I was just coming in from observing when I looked up to the northeast and saw this magnificent vapor trail with a Juno rocket in front of it soaring into the sky, and then suddenly it stopped, and the trail lasted about 15 minutes after that. But it was a beautiful, beautiful sight.
That was that the Juno launch?
Yeah, that was a Juno rocket, and the idea was, I believe it was a test of the Patriot missile system that was quite successful.
You know, getting back to the shuttle, and I know you have been, and we've talked over the years, David Levy, about the shuttle program. You were a big supporter of the shuttle. What happens now that the shuttle program is no longer in existence and grounded? How do we now get stuff up to space?
Well, there are a number of ways. I mean, the most reliable right now is with the Russians. However, Star Arizona, a local astronomy store, recently built a Hyperstar lens, which was sent up to the space station via a Japanese rocket in July, on July the 20th, and that was a very exciting thing. And they hope to start to use that at the end of the year to explore explore natural disaster areas on our planet. So they're doing a lot of good work, and the Stars on the Hyperstar is going to be a big part of that.
We've got the autumn equinox arriving on Saturday. That signals usually meteor shower time.
Yeah, meteor shower time. You're right, Bill. We have the Orionid meteors coming at the end of October that I'm looking forward to. We have the Taurids coming in early November, the Leonids coming in on later November, and the Geminids in mid-December, which is really the biggest shower of the year. So there's quite a lot of activity coming up in the next couple of months.
The moon is in a waxing crescent right now, reaching the first quarter Saturday. That usually means that when you start to get that phase, your viewing goes down, doesn't it? Your search for comets?
Yeah, this is actually the best time. I wasn't out this morning, Bill, because there were clouds around. However, the key to the observing is not so much for me with the science, but for the relationship with the arts. For example, I note that Shakespeare wrote very clearly in the three opening lines of the play Henry VI, Part 1. He wrote about eclipses and comets all in those three lines. He wrote, "Hung be the heavens with black, yield day to night. Comets importing change of times and states, brandish your crystal tresses in the sky." Have you ever read of comets described more beautifully than that?
No, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
David, what about eclipses? I think you have seen more eclipses of the sun than just about anybody on the planet Earth. There's another one coming up, right?
Yeah, there's one coming up in November that I hope to catch in Australia. But we'll see. I mean, I may just be sitting right out there and miss it like I missed the shuttle just now.
And you are at 23 on your comet discovery.
Well, at 23, yes.
23, and still looking for that elusive number 24. Give our listeners a quick overview on your typical procedure that you use to scan the skies.
Well, I usually go out about 2 or 3 hours before dawn. I spend the first hour setting up the automated cameras, and then once they're all going, I spend the next hour doing a visual comet search. And it's that visual comet search that is so much fun and so relaxing, and it's almost transcendent. It's a beautiful experience for me, and I really love it.
And you say the photographic equipment is, with your digital equipment, do you then just, you keep those, all the records, or do you just reuse it every night?
No, I don't keep all the images. After I scan them, I erase them. Otherwise, I would have I'd have to build another house to store them all, or store them in your house or something.
And your viewing area is in Vail, Arizona,
yeah.
And you get pretty good night.
They're pretty good sky. What I do is I scan the photographs and then erase them and then do a fresh set. I didn't do it this morning, but I hope to do it tomorrow morning.
Okay, David Levy, and how is your Sharing the Sky Foundation going?
It's quiet, but it's coming pretty well. And Wendy and I are active. We have plans. We have our monthly star night at the called the Vail Astronomy UnClub at Corona Foothills Middle School. We have a big star night coming up next May, and our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat coming up next July.
David Levy, always a pleasure talking with you. We'll look forward to our visit in October. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Bill.
David Levy, one of the world's top comet discoverers, and he works right out of his own observatory in Vail, Arizona. Coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show, our once-a-month animal care specialty segment is coming up. And then Dave Joseph will be with us. Dave is in the house. He is one of the LD11 candidates. He's in a three-way race for two seats in the Arizona House. We'll be back.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The White House is now saying that the assaults on the U.S. consulate in Libya last week was indeed a terror attack. At first, the White House spokesman specifically blamed the deadly attack on the anti-Islam film that's triggered angry protests around the world. Members of an Amish breakaway group in Ohio have been found guilty of hate crimes by carrying out beard and hair-cutting attacks against fellow Amish in a dispute over religious differences. A judge in San Francisco is fining a Taiwanese company $500 million, and two of its former top executives have been sentenced to 3 years in prison for their roles in a global conspiracy to fix the prices of LCD screens. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 14 points, while the NASDAQ is down 6. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon. Once a month, we focus on animal care issues. The segment is about specialty animal care presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet, located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center at Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. Joining us on this month's animal care segment, Dr. Celeste Roy. Dr. Roy is a veterinary dentist. Dr. Roy, how are you today?
Well, actually, Bill, you're talking to Dr. Barbara Gores, and I'm a veterinary surgeon. Dr. Roy fell ill today, so I'm filling in for her.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
And a veterinary surgeon, and well, let's talk about what is your role at Veterinary Specialty Center?
Well, I'm actually one of the founding owners of the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, and my specialty is veterinary surgery. We actually have three veterinary surgeons here at the SCT, so it allows us to kind of concentrate in the areas of surgery that we really enjoy the most. I tend to do more of the soft tissue surgeries, and I'm kind of known for bringing lasers to the Southwest. I was actually the first veterinary surgeon to be licensed for laser use here in veterinary field in Arizona. So I kind of wanted to talk about some of that today with your listeners and trying to educate them on what exactly is a veterinary surgeon, why would their pet need to see one, and then maybe touch a little bit on lasers.
Well, why would someone need a veterinary surgeon over at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson? Would they typically be referred from another vet then to come over to your specialty center?
Exactly. You know, primary care veterinarians are trained to do kind of some basic routine surgeries, obviously, in vet school, but a veterinary surgeon has gone on and completed four additional years after vet school of advanced training in surgical techniques, as well as publishing in the surgical field, passing a three-day rigorous exam, and that's how you become board certified in your specialty. And so just as you might seek out the care or be referred by your primary care physician to go to an orthopedic surgeon if, say, you ruptured a ligament in your knee, or if you had a tumor in your lung or somewhere else in your body, you might be referred to a soft tissue or oncologic surgeon for that tumor removal. You might wish to seek out the care of a veterinary surgeon to perform surgery on your pet if they had a similar condition.
What kind of equipment does that take? You probably have all state-of-the-art equipment. Go through that with us. What does your operating room look like, Dr. Gores?
Well, we actually have four operating rooms here. And as I said, because we have three board-certified surgeons here, in addition to, you know, the neurologist does perform some surgery, our ophthalmologist performs some surgery, the dentist as well, we really have all of the equipment you would need to do both orthopedic conditions, so that might be bone saws, bone plating, things to do joint replacements and whatnot, ligament reconstruction. To on the soft tissue side, we do a lot of use with lasers, as I had mentioned, as well as internal surgical stapling equipment, things to use for what you might think of as plastic surgery. And for pets, it's more plastic surgery for wound reconstruction and whatnot. So we have vacuum-assisted wound closure types of devices and all of that. So we're pretty well equipped to handle You know, any degree of surgery, we have ventilators. If I have to go into the chest and do lung or heart surgery on a pet, anything like that, we're pretty well equipped here.
We're speaking with Dr. Barbara Gores, a veterinary surgeon at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. And a few weeks ago, I had laparoscopic surgery,
Dr. Gores, done
on my hernia in the groin,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the way to go.
If you're going
to have that operation, no one likes having an operation, and it's nerve-wracking, mm-hmm. but the recovery time by using the laparoscopic method was far superior to the old kind of slice and dice and cut. Mm-hmm. Are you able to use laparoscopic now in veterinary care medicine?
We sure are. We have all the equipment to do any sort of minimally invasive. Probably the limiting factor for us is the patient size, though. It's much more difficult and sometimes impossible to get into small spaces with basically using the laparoscope in, say if you're working on an 8 to 20-pound pet, sometimes you can't really get into the space. They're just not big enough given the size of scopes that they use today. We're still somewhat dependent on the equipment that is made in humans and trying to adapt that down to our patient size. So a lot of the minimally invasive stuff that we do in pets is somewhat determined by the size of the pet, but it's improving every single day. And in fact, I'm attending another yet advanced course in minimally invasive surgeries just to stay current on some of the newer equipment coming out this November up at Colorado State University. So I think we're still obviously a little bit behind on the human side, but making strides all the time.
Let's talk a little bit about the types of how many and what types of lasers do you have there at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, and how do you decide whether or not the laser would be beneficial?
Well, we're lucky here. We currently have 5 different lasers here at VSCOT. So some are used for surgery only. Say if you were going to reattach a retina or for, cutting, making actual surgical incisions, removing tumors and such. And some are used more in a therapeutic mode. So that's a non-invasive, non-cutting mode. So in terms of deciding, when would you use a laser, when would be a good surgery, the real benefit of lasers in surgery is that laser light, depending on what wavelength that is, that's what determines how the tissue absorbs it. So say, for instance, with a CO2 laser, probably one of the most well-known lasers out there, both on the human and veterinary side, the CO2 light is preferentially absorbed by water, very, very high affinity. And you probably know, as well as I do, Bill, that tissues are made of water. Most of the tissues in your body have a very high concentration of water. And so that CO2 laser seeks out the water and allows you to cut very cleanly through those tissues, but it seals blood vessels, lymphatics, nerve endings while it's doing it. So we really are reducing the degree of bleeding, swelling, discomfort. And I have a lot of my pet owners that have undergone various laser surgeries themselves and rave about it, and they want the same kind of benefits for their pets, frankly. So I always joke and say, areas of the body that are more vascular, have a bigger blood supply, more sensitive, are kind of the ears and the rears. So I definitely use them in those different areas. But maybe not as much in orthopedic surgeries. Lasers currently, the kind that are out there available in private practice, don't cut bone. And so we don't tend to use them as extensively for orthopedic procedures.
Dr. Gores, I'm sure one of the major challenges that you face is cancer in our companion animals, in dogs and cats. You do a lot of surgeries dealing with cancer in animals?
Oh, absolutely.
Generally speaking, is the outcome rate, can the outcome rate be very favorable?
Oh, yes. I don't think that, cancer maybe 20, 30 years ago was a real death sentence for our pets. Maybe very similar in people, too. you can imagine, you know, the kind of advances that we have made on the human side have really been paralleled on the veterinary side. For instance, I just did surgery this morning, a little 14-year-old Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. I've done several surgeries on her over the years for cancerous growths. She is still ticking along like the Energizer Bunny, and I took off two cancers this morning, used the CO2 laser. She's going home this afternoon. She just sails through them. And every single time, we've been able to give her a curative excision. Now, that's not true for all cancers, but we really are able to offer so many more treatments, and the laser is a huge part of that. Lasers have actually been shown on the human side to reduce the recurrence of certain tumor types, probably because you are sealing off those blood vessels. You're able to cut out these tumors, but you're not doing as much manipulation, so there's maybe less spread of the tumor while you're actually taking it off surgically. So it's just another modality to help us achieve the best absolute results for these pets.
Dr. Barbara Gores, thank you very much, a veterinary surgeon at the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. If someone has a concern that their animal may need surgery, can they just contact you folks directly?
Absolutely. Call the 795-9955 number. They'll be directed to my liaison, Deborah, who's a wonderful lady. She runs our schedules. She will set you up. And I really appreciate you having us on here, Bill, and offering this service to the good pet-owning folks of Tucson and trying to educate people on what we have to offer.
I want to tell you, I do a lot of segments here, but this is the one I look forward to because I love animals. Dr. Gores, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
From the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets, and they are located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road. They're also on the web at vscot.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
It's 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. So much going on this weekend over there. The ongoing 8th annual Gila River Festival goes through the 26th. And also, if you're a Civil War buff, this Saturday and Sunday, historic Fort Baird, which is just east of Silver City, will be putting on tours, speakers, kind of Civil War buffs will really enjoy this. Go to Fort Baird, BAYARD.org. Lots of great places to stay over there in Silver City, including Georgetown Cabins and Spirit Canyon Ranch. Spirit Canyon Lodge, I'll get it straight. More information at southwestnewmexico.org. We are hoping that before the general election, we can introduce our Buckmaster Show listeners to as many of the, certainly the legislative candidates from Southern Arizona as possible. We are focusing today on District 11. That's a three-way battle for 2 seats. The 2 Republicans are former State Senator Steve Smith, who we spoke with earlier this week from the community of Maricopa, and Adam Quasman, who managed Jesse Kelly's 2010 congressional campaign. He's the other Republican, and the Democrat is with us right now, Dave Joseph. Dave, how are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Three-way race in District 11. It's a big district. You've got all the way up to Maricopa County and then down here in Southern Arizona.
Yes, it's putting a lot of miles on my car. But I've learned...
Have you gone through a set of tires yet?
Not yet, though a set of shoes almost.
Your slogan on your campaign literature, which I have in front of me, let's create jobs, not headlines. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, one of the reasons I'm running is because I feel like the legislature has been totally focused on things that don't create jobs, which is what we really need. I see a focus. You had mentioned that Steve Smith was on talking only about immigration. And
yeah, a large portion of the interview he was discussing, sure, the update on that.
And while it's an important issue, that's not going to create jobs. And it's really – it's been – the Supreme Court has said it's a federal issue. We should be asking for comprehensive immigration reform, but we as a legislature should be focusing on ways we can bring our economy forward, make Arizona the best and brightest. I'd like to see us focusing more on education dollars on every level at the – K through 12, because businesses are not going to locate here unless they know they can educate their kids, their employees' kids. You had on earlier the provost, the new provost at Pima, and the community colleges play a critical role in creating trained people for our businesses, for our Raytheons, for Abbott Labs up by Maricopa.
Yeah, let's face it, Dave. Folks are not going to move to Tucson unless they see a workforce that's going to help their business.
Absolutely. And then, of course, on the university level, I had the privilege of going to the new Bio5 facility up in Oro Valley, where they're doing, they call them accelerators. They have little labs for small independent people to create new biochemical projects and build companies out of there. And they're looking to expand and need to find ways to tie in the business end of it. So when these businesses grow out of the science stage and into something they need to market, they need financing for, that can happen. But that's all part of the university. All this university, both at ASU and here at the U of A, there's a ton of research and a ton of exciting stuff that we can build on, and we need to keep investing there to grow our economy.
Dave Joseph is with us. Dave is the Democrat in the three-way race for the Arizona House in District 11. The top two vote-getters will go on to Phoenix and assume seats in the House of Representatives. Are you finding, Dave, as you go door-to-door and traveling all over this large LD11, that people are confused still about this redistricting?
Oh, absolutely. They don't know who their representatives are, and it's not just the LD11, it's also the congressional district has changed. So where I live in Oro Valley now, I'm in one. So
part of your job is like an education process.
Absolutely.
About saying who you are when you show up at their front door.
Who's running, who the opposition is, and helping them understand what's going on in the political world.
How about healthcare? Is that on your platform?
Absolutely. It's actually another, people ask me what's my number one priority, and it's yes. I mean, it's everything. It's the world is so complicated today, and there's so much we can be doing positively to help. But healthcare, one of the things I've been doing, kind of to digress a little, is working with the RTA, and I'm very much enamored of the fact that they're very focused on delivering exactly what the voter said and doing it on time and on budget. So I find it kind of abysmal that this legislature decided that even though there was an initiative and a vote that said we want to fund kids' care for our state's children because we don't want our children to be sick, that they've decided that that's not important to them and they're not going to fund it. But part of the effects of that isn't just the kid being sick or any of our people not getting the health care they need. It's lost productivity too, so it hits our economy. And it also hits our economy by not funding this. These people are forced to use emergency rooms and other expensive or put off treatment until it becomes expensive. And that costs us all in the long run too. So I think we need to be smart about how we use our money and be looking at return for dollars spent and less ideology and a lot more focus on results.
Are you taking a position on the 1 cent sales tax for education?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely support that as part of my wanting to focus on education. Another thing that had happened there was the last time it went through, it was kind of a bait and switch, something that's prohibited by the RTA law, but because you're required to do a minimum amount, the same amount of money you were spending before to support the programs that the RTA is a part of. But what they did,
people voted on RTA, they voted for a certain platform, if you
right.
will, or program to be instituted over 20 years. And what kind of stewardship would it be then if you just, the voters said this, but we're going to do this?
Well, exactly. And and you see that with this new bill is because when we did the cent sales tax last time, we were promised they would continue to support education, and that's not what happened. We actually lead the nation in cuts to education. So that's not where I want to be, and I don't want to be 49th or 50th in spending per student. I want to spend the money wisely, though. I think we can be innovative and smart. I think we can bring new technology to bear. But so it's not just about pouring money on a problem. It's about finding creative solutions. That's been my success in business, and I think that I've seen that with the RTA, being very focused on finding ways to innovate, to bring projects in under budget, and giving us the tools, giving the jurisdictions the tools they need to build to budget. And I think we can do that on the state level and get more bang for our dollar.
And you are a businessman.
Yes. My background is actually turning around distressed TV stations. So going back to 93 here, I was the general manager of Channel 13 and moved them to the new facility in Marana, and we're able to invest and grow that station. And
they've done pretty well.
And they're leading in the ratings now. And they've done a great job doing that. And one of the funny stories is that Ed Honey and I put Marana on the map, because when we moved up there, that's the one thing he asked for was, we're not on the weather map. So when you see it there on the Channel 13 map, you can thank Ed Honey.
Dave, Joseph, we're going to have to run. Where can folks find out about your campaign?
They can either go to Dave for LD11, that's the spelled out F-O-R, DaveForLD11.com, or Facebook.com/DaveForLD11.
And they can also call you probably, huh?
Absolutely.
And they can get through you through Facebook that way?
Facebook or email DaveForLD11@gmail.com is the best way, actually.
Okay. Dave Joseph, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck to you. And we'll see how the campaign unfolds. 12:59 here on the Buckmaster Show. Dave Joseph, our guest, has been enjoying, as have I, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water. And this water really is better. It just tastes better. We like Culligan water, great water treatment products and services for your home or business. Tomorrow on Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, that comes on at 6 and 8. And, of course, the dean of local talk shows, John C. Scott, will be here this afternoon from 4 to 5. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for being with us. Steve Kasachek on our Friday Focus tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.